Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
The stuff-wise is still fairly optimistic, but I had a tough one today, obviously. They found a way to put a lot of balls in play and, found a lot of holes, and the ones that did hit hard found corners, and yeah, it was a tough one.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
That was a tough one. Yeah. You watched real quick WNBA All-Star
No.
Game? Now
no.
You're cranky. Cranky Frankie.
I am, because you think this is the 27 Yankees that are underachieving.
No.
You watch it?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Was
I had
it
a
fun?
Good time. The best part was the shirts that they... I really think you asked me, did I watch it? Yes. And they had the warm-up shirts, Donnie, talking about getting... they want to be paid more money. And I thought it was profound. It was in black. They all warm. But I got some sound I wanted you and the listeners, Evan and I, heard this morning.
Oh.
That just kind of puts things in perspective in regard to the Caitlin Clark hate.
Okay, let's do it.
Now, Evan, your boy, I set it up and teased it for later, but you want to get into it right now, which we can. I thought we was having a giant discussion.
I didn't.
I was just saying I set it up for later. You didn't hear me.
Okay, we can do it later then.
Yeah. I want to just continue this because I just feel like you're caping up for the coaches. Just not only are you caping
this
up,
team
you
stinks.
Won't even allow the possibility for maybe they're not having the best communication from their skipper. Because to me, that's a big part of what a good manager does. Obviously, it's strategic decision-making, communication, Steiny, and I don't know. And I watch Melvin after every game, and you would think it was the same game. And I'm just wondering if guys like Ramos and even the Bay, I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't think it's crazy. And we had callers to see what I'm seeing, like, huh.
Then fire. You know who you should fire? Posey. And I'll tell you why. And I'm not kidding here. Like, this is, so they get rid of Gabe Kapler. They bring in Buster Posey.
Yeah.
And Buster Posey says, we're going back. We're turning the clock back. We're going to go do it like we did it when we won three titles. Okay, well, how'd you do it? Well, we did it with professionalism. We did it with a clubhouse without histrionics. We're certainly not going to hire a manager like Billy Martin. We're just not like
now. Why do you say that? A manager
Melvin,
like that?
Because that's not what, like, Posey does not believe in those guys. He doesn't believe in these flipping spreads three times a year. Like, they had their success with Bruce Bochy, very understated. They had a veteran team that didn't need a lot of.
But Bochy would let you know, and the ump, Steiny, he would, okay, forget flipping the spreads. Bruce Bochy would,
well, Bruce
would
Bochy's
go
a
crazy.
Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, well, like,
but
Melvin's not a Hall of Fame manager.
Okay, all right.
Melvin's just a good manager.
Right.
He's just okay.
But I guess the point I'm trying to hammer home, and you kind of said it, is Bochy would let you know how he felt. And he was strategic in that, letting his players know how they're playing. This ain't okay. And however he used whatever piano key he was going to press, I can vision Bochy just getting ran now. And some guys that have it and possess it, Steiny, know how to use it. And when I say talk about that, that's communication. And then Bruce Bochy leaves here, goes to the Lone Star State, and brings a carcass of a team to the promised land and wins the World Series. And again, I'm sure he had different players than he has here, but I just question when I watch the Giants, I don't see a team playing with fire. And you could say, "Goo, that's on them." But I feel like that's a big part of the manager.
And I don't think you can play with fire when you can't score. Mm. And they just can't score. And to me, I just don't think the roster's good enough. And In fact, I'm starting to think it's not even close. And you might be like, well, what? Okay, so they started 12-4, right?
Yeah.
They started 12-4. Okay, that's fool's gold.
Right.
Then they were 33-28, and that's when they won 8 of 9.
Okay.
So they're 41-29.
And that's 61 games.
70 games.
Yeah.
And then in the last 30, they're 11-19. So to me, that's baseball. Got off to a good start, hung in for a while, winning streak. Now they've played a bad month.
Right.
And the chips are, The chips have fallen and they're four games over 500. And can they play better? Yeah, probably can play a little better. But I don't
see. I think a lot better.
Well, okay.
Adames and Devers on line one.
They're 52-48. What would their potential record be if things were clicking?
I'm not doing math. I'm just telling you more victories, more offense, more runs. And I'm looking at this, and you talk about that 11-19 with the big bopper, Ralphie Devers. Obviously, that's the losing part of the season. But, Stoney, that's concerning to me if I'm Buster. How the hell do we add this to our nucleus and we're 11-19? I don't think it's just, guys aren't doing it, nothing to see here. That's the red light, the siren flashing of, what the hell is going on here?
Maybe guys played over their heads for the first 70 games. And now we're 100 games in, and we talk about how long a baseball season is. It's a marathon, and we're finding out. I mean, like, I just look at – so your three best players aren't hitting well.
Okay.
And then you have Bailey, who's terrible, Fitzgerald, who's not very good, okay. Jung-Hoo Lee's not very good, Yaz is Yaz.
Yeah.
Flores, like – you should have known when you got Devers that Flores was going to take a step back because he wasn't going to play as much. And then you got a young guy, Matos, who's not even in 180. Like, there's just so many gettable outs on this team because they're lacking talent at spots. Mm. And their lineup has a lot of holes in it.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're right, because you're breaking it down for your point about, now, you know, I'm not backtracking. I think they're underperforming. But if you're right and Buster feels the way you do, then we can expect no additions come the trading deadline because it sounds like, Stoney, there's too many holes to fill.
Well, you can still try to fill, like, but that's where I believe Buster Posey made it clear that this was going to take a while to at least the ownership group. Because I believe Buster Posey does believe they have multiple holes. And then what he did this year was he got an everyday shortstop and he got an everyday designated hitter. All right? That's not the end of it. That's just the start of it. Like, I'll bet in 2 years they're going to have five different players.
We had an all-star last year in left field, so you were hoping that he could just maintain that or be close to that. Okay.
He has.
All right, so we'll go to center field. And I know it wasn't on Posey's watch, but man, that's what are we doing? I thought the Giant, and I tweeted, you didn't see it, Stoney, over the weekend, another Giant game, another different leadoff hitter. It's like you brought this dude to be the leadoff hitter. I'm just saying, let him fail, but let that be your dude to set the table. Who's to say jerking him around and batting him up? I'm just asking these questions because it's natural. No. In regard to Jung-Hoo Lee, I thought he was the next. See, and he's been a bad signing thus far.
And this is, like, for me, so you said Jung-Hoo Lee, maybe putting him all over the lineup has hurt him. Well, the way I look at it is, okay, what would be the other thing? You lead him off come hell or high water,
okay,
even when he's slumping.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's gonna, like, Melvin will get ripped for that. Like, there's no one way to do it. Jung-Hoo Lee's not hitting, so it's easy to say, well, maybe he needs to play, just hit leadoff all the time. Okay, so then he hits leadoff for 10 days in a row, and he doesn't get it done. You just got to live with it? I mean,
you're living with it now all over because this team just can't hit. So you're living with it, just at a greater rate. Everybody's a part of this.
Yeah. I'm not saying, but if everybody's a part of it, when do you say, Goo, maybe the team's not that good. Maybe if it's not just one guy, maybe there's not a great lineup. You know what? And let me ask you this about the pitching. Yeah, I get it. Ray's been great and Webb's been great. Then what?
See,
like, then yeah, what? Okay. Roop's been good.
Yeah, no doubt.
But then what?
Okay, this is what I was about to tell you.
It's not as good as we think.
I know a lot of people, rightfully so, just in regard to endurance, You know, what if, you know, down the stretch we see a different version of Ray and Webb? It's just not as dominant. I thought this offense would be somewhere to where they could sustain that, Steiny.
No.
It's like, you guys have been so great. Take a deep breath. Let your hair down. Not be bad, but we can score when we show up 4 or 5 runs. That won't be like a lunar eclipse, but it feels that way for the offense. So as worried as people are about this rotation, I mean, and as much as I'm talking about what I didn't see from Verlander Friday, Steiny, in regard to run support, they didn't score. And they had chances to score. So, I mean, you could have Kershaw in his prime and Mad Bum in his prime. If you're not going to score, that's where your problem lies. But
well, and you're not going to score
on,
if you don't have a good hitting team.
Yeah, but Adames is better than what he's shown.
Okay, but what he's shown is what he is through 100 games. You're 52-48, and Adames has hit 220.
Not good.
Maybe
enough.
If Adames had hit 250, you'd be 54-46, and you'd be right there.
But doesn't that give you more hope that you got guys underperforming rather than this is just who they are? Because we know for it, we know for a fact, Devers and Adames, there's more in there that we're seeing. And Chapman's been cool with the stick. So what if he were to, you know, show some signs of life?
Chapman's going to end up where Chapman always ends up, probably 20 to 25 homers. Look, I mean, you asked me about Adames, and like, he's not going to have the year he had in Milwaukee last year. He's got no chance of that. Okay, so
can you be better than what you've been through 100 games?
Probably, but I wouldn't expect him to hit 330 in the next 60. I just don't like, you know what I think too is Ramos, not Ramos. I think Adames, Devers, they're stars, but they ain't superstars. They're not. They're really good players. They wouldn't be the best players on other teams, on a lot of other teams. They would be like the dangerous guys behind the really dangerous guys. And now they are. They have to see. I agree with you. Like, hey, maybe Adames and Chapman and
Devers
will get hot, man, and they'll be able to carry him.
Yeah.
For how long?
As long
couple
as
weeks.
I would take it. We would take it.
Okay, but then what's gonna, like, they two guys can't carry a team for an entire second half of the season, and Devers is going to get hot at some point. You got to believe, and he'll hit 5 homers in 18, you know, 15 games, and they'll go 10-5, and then he'll start to level out again. He won't be as bad as he's been for 28 games, but I just don't they are not good enough. Devers, as good as he is, he can't carry a team for months at a time, I don't think.
Here I go, Steiny, and this is the beautiful thing about baseball. A team could accumulate 11 hits and go 0-9 with runners in scoring position, and that affects the outcome of the game to me, the runners in scoring position. Without even looking at the numbers, I can tell you who's at the bottom in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position. So if I were right and we got our wish and we saw Adames and Devers carry the team for 2 to 3 weeks, other guys get at bats. So we're not saying get 4 hits, Wilmer Flores, but if you could get better with runners in scoring position, along with Jung-Hoo Lee, Yaz, it's a collective. Then I think we see better results.
Alfredo Saldivar on the YouTube chat. Steiny, Willie Adames is not a star. He's an average player. I think he's a little above average.
And he's getting paid like a star.
I think he's above average. Not this year. And
so do you think there's any to this? Not fair, but I'm going to do it. Do you think there's anything to, through 100 games, Adames hasn't looked like Adames, hitting half of his games at this park, and through 30 games, Devers hasn't looked like Devers with half of his games at Third and King? Do you think there's any parallel to those two dudes underperforming from what we know?
I wouldn't just blame it on the ballpark. I'd blame it on everything.
Like, what's everything?
There are new situations, but Devers played in Boston his entire career. He's been here for a month. Probably doesn't know anybody. Probably trying to figure it out. Probably trying to figure out the ballpark. Probably not 100%. And Adames, big contract, maybe put some pressure on himself early and got off to a terrible start. Now he's trying to turn it around. But yet, do I think the ballpark's got something to do with Adames? Yes, absolutely. I think we've seen that at times. I think he's hit some balls that would have gone out in Milwaukee. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, but I feel like he's starting to figure it out at home, even with the power. And, you know, that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a good sign. They need more. But, you know.
And I don't disagree with that.
What?
They need more from everybody.
Yeah, but I wouldn't expect you to get more out of everybody because I don't believe everybody's underachieving. I think Devers has obviously can play better and hit better. Adames can be better. You know, Chapman's Chapman. Ramos has been Ramos. It's the other guys that they're just not good enough. But Devers and Adames have been the biggest problems on this team too because they're the ones that should be the best players on the team. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. So the Giants start a three-game series against the Atlanta Braves. Tonight.
Well,
and
I don't know what to expect, partner. I really don't. Like,
they're probably going to struggle to score runs. I mean, I always think it, like, what do you mean you don't know what to expect? They'll probably get some pretty good pitching.
Because let
me
tell
you, probably won't hit great.
No, it'll probably be a close game. Normally, it's the offense I worry about with the Giants. It's the pitching now. Birdsong. Hopefully, he has a good outing. But my point is, this could be like yesterday. You score six runs, but you give up eight or nine.
That's a sign of a team that's not very good.
Admit that hasn't been the Giants' MO up until what we're starting to see, if you want to even call it a little regression with the starters. Like, I'm with you. We hadn't seen that type of game.
Right. But, like, when you're not a good team, you can lose in a variety of different ways.
Are you really ready to say you think they're not a good team?
No, I'm not saying they're not a good team. They're a 500 team. They've been a 500. I mean.
Yeah. Well, there's some more losing to come then, because if you're right, I'm just saying, they're four over.
See, I think there's been a huge disconnect between the fans and Buster Posey. I think Buster Posey knew that this team, when he took it over, wasn't close. And that doesn't mean they were terrible, but the reality is, if you look at the National League, how many teams, like, there are a lot of teams that don't even care in baseball. Mm. So to me, if you're a team that's like 500, you get a lot of wins against teams that are absolutely terrible.
And the Giants went through six games and went 1-5 with the Marlins and White Sox. Like, that counts.
I know. But again, it's because
with Devers,
the disconnect is Giants fans thinking that this is a finished product and that they have enough to win. And that they, in theory, Giants fans thought after they got Devers, they had enough to deal with the Dodgers. Like, people were saying that.
But it was looking like that,
Stoney. What do you mean it was looking like that?
And they're six back. I know you're like, well, you know, people are laughing right now, but you're still only six back. You can make that up.
If you're
going
to say only six back, then you should not be as upset as you are now if you're going to talk about being six out.
No, this is not upset, Stoney. I'm concerned. And I don't believe Posey's thinking like you.
I know he is.
If you're right, let's just say for this part of the exercise, he knew getting Devers there was still more to do.
No doubt.
Okay, but he expected more impact from Devers in this offense. That I believe.
Yeah, and he probably expected more from Adames, more from Chapman.
Because what's about to happen if this thing continues is you're going to waste a great year by two of your stud starters. And you could throw Roop in there. Like, that's not okay. I don't think Buster's thinking, oh, this has been cute. We got 22. Like, no, Stoney, you still got action. You got it today. But something's got to change. A message.
Nothing's got to change.
Like, well, performance has to change.
Well,
that
they can try to, you know, this is their team. They're going to try to do as, you know, they're going to try to win as many games as possible. But again, if I'm looking at this team, compared with other teams, you know, they still could make the playoffs. They might. But I don't look at this team saying, man, why aren't we right on the Dodgers' tail?
Well,
because you don't have good enough pitching and you don't hit it well enough. And oh, by the way, let's not sleep on, you're not a great defensive team and you're not a good base running team. You're not fast. Like, they're kind of like the Warriors a little bit. You know, we're upset at the Warriors because they didn't, or not upset, but you know, you look at the Warriors, you're like, well, they should be better. Well, let's take a look at it. They're small. They're not athletic. They're old. Guess what? That's why sometimes they struggle.
Well, let's follow the money.
The Giants have as many. They have exactly those same kind of holes.
Yeah, let's follow the money. The Giants spent, and I know it wasn't Buster, on Jung-Hoo Lee. That's been underwhelming. You spent on Adames, who I know, I'm unlike you, Stani. I like what I'm seeing moving forward, but you spent some bread on him. But I'll give you the win. I'll say, okay, it hadn't been what you thought it was going to be up to date. And then also Devers, like, they've been spending chicken. So those should be three spots along with Ramos. If we're giving the go-ahead on Ramos, which we are, like, it shouldn't be, hey, we're nowhere near ready. And we got two horses, two-fifths of our rotation that have been filthy. Enough to even make the All-Star game.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like a team that can score but can't play defense. Mm. They don't hit well enough. And then when they do hit, maybe that's the night that they're
like, they got it to one run yesterday, and I'm thinking, old Giants, bullpen is going to – I get it, Stani. I was shocked. Oh, there's a home run, a three-run. Like, we're not used to that from this Giant team. And, again, I'm just saying, like, I was thinking, okay, here they come. The bullpen's going to do what we've taken for granted. And, man, if that starts repeating itself, then what are we looking at? Problems. I believe.
Blue Jays are better than the Giants.
And you know, Stani, I heard
they're much better than the Giants.
I got you. But when you got your left fielder misplaying routine high school, you know, line drives, and then you also have guys sliding off the base to kill an inning when you don't have too many of those innings. Am I mad at Jung-Hoo Lee? No. But I'm like, that's buzzard luck. But what irritated me is everybody don't got to remind me that the Blue Jays are a good baseball team. I get it. But that doesn't take away from what I'm watching the Giants not do. Everything's a reason now.
If you have Ramos in left field, you have to live with stuff. They had to live with Ramos in left field. They paid the price last night for Ramos, or yesterday afternoon, because Ramos is probably a below average left fielder.
See, I didn't know defensively. I never said he was a gold glove. I never knew his route running was kind of there. We've seen it all year.
Well, we talked about it a lot last year.
The other day, you cannot miss balls like that.
But he's not a good defensive player. They have a starting left fielder who's not a great fielder. So you can't ask him to be a gold glover. Like, Ramos is having a Ramos year, and he hurt you yesterday, but you know what? He's going to hurt him five more times this year because he's not a great defensive player, but you hope you can overcome it. 888-957-9570 is the number, and 888-957-9570, like I said, is the number. What's going on with the Giants? Underachieving? Or are they achieving? And they're right there. They're 2.5. They had a bad series against the Blue Jays. They can get it. They can get it going. 888-957-9570. Hey, if you're wrapping up the workday like me, it's time to flip that mental switch. Time to unwind. And when I'm off the clock, it starts with new vodka. NUE, American-made, award-winning, 7 times distilled. New is smooth, it's versatile, and it makes every cocktail feel like it's coming straight from behind the bar at your favorite spot. You get quality with new. No fluff, no pretense, no velvet rope needed. Hit up their website to check out some killer cocktail recipes and make sure you try their all-natural flavors, cucumber and citrus. They're absolute game changers. Remember the name, New Vodka. That's N-U-E. It's not just my pick. It can be yours too. So when the show's over and it's time to hit relax mode, make the right call, grab New Vodka in stores now, or go to newvodka.com to find it near you.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
What's the word stiff in Spanish?
All I know is yo tengo nosotros. Come on.
And that's what life's about.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, boy. We heard that. So what are you exasperated about?
About what Ken Evans unaware, what just transpired during the break?
Yeah.
I have an idea.
So, just real quick here.
Sure,
The reunion was this Saturday. Mm. Shout out to LaTanya Hardy, AP, and Mark Hanford for putting it together.
LaTanya Hardy was there?
No, LaTanya.
Oh, yeah. Thought you meant Tanya Hardy. Did she bring a baton?
No, I'm going to give you one.
All right.
So, Ken comes in, kicks the door open like producer a bank robber. Producer Ken.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he saw the video I put up on IG. And I thought I had Evan in it when he left. I realized I didn't. But anyway, I was saying Evan and Jack had come through. And on these same airwaves, I did a What's Bugging You about I'm the invite police,
mm-hmm.
about how I'm getting omitted on invites. And Ken goes, I would have showed up. And I said, oh, my God.
He didn't invite him.
It's not just him. It's Shasky. It's Bedoni. It's everybody here. So I did what I say is happening to me. Dibs. Grandy. It bothers me.
What specifically?
Then I didn't invite everybody. And I know
this is what you get away with because you're goo. Like, this is why the rules are different for you.
Hey, when you and Evan started this bit, it bothers me. But Evan, I'm feeling some type of way. I just didn't tell my whole team to come through.
Well, that's another thing we got to kind of kill. Apparently, we use bit too much. And I'm starting to think that a lot of people think that everything on the show is a bit.
Guru Appreciation Day, which I love.
It was not a bit.
Well, then why do we go to the cafeteria and the young lady goes, how did the bit go? And I'm looking around like, bit? Please explain.
Because she doesn't know radio.
Oh, well. Evan had to do that PSA right there.
Yeah, it wasn't a bit.
We're not scripted. And it's why we're putting up numbers.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Dude, just enjoy a win when you can, man.
Yay!
There we go. Let's get nuts.
You know what's funny? Is this is why you're just
on your nerves.
So you're not superstitious then?
No, I love baseball.
Yeah, okay.
I am.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking.
Just let it go. Yeah.
What are we really jinxing? Come on, baby.
Kaminga's still a Warrior? Oh, I'm sorry, Evan.
No, I was going to say, for those who think we are scripted.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Why would you bring him up today?
Why not?
Because nothing's happened.
We're the flagship of the Golden State Warriors.
Chris Paul got a new job. He got a new team.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers boots are open.
Anyone coming?
Well, he's retiring this year. It's his last season in the NBA.
I would tell Chris that's already happened in regard to production, but good for Chris. That was mean. But, Sonny, don't get me more upset with the Warriors. Don't add this into what we're doing now.
No, remember they got Butler. That was their move.
I do like that.
Yeah? Sure.
I do like that.
Sure, they got to fill out a roster still. They've got 9 guys under contract.
Maybe Butler can talk to the Giants.
About what?
On how to make an impact with a newbie.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that doesn't work. Butler doesn't know anything about baseball.
Kind of, you're wrong, buddy.
No, I'm not wrong. I very seldom am wrong.
I hope you are if you're saying this is just a 500 team.
So you are wrong.
About what?
Well, you said seldomly.
Yeah, once. Yeah. I was wrong.
So you are.
Yeah, 2020,
okay.
2021.
You can own it.
I was wrong in 2021.
Sonny, stop.
I think that was 22.
Casey Johnson, you were wrong.
That doesn't count. Nobody knows where he works. Okay, this is Dave Fleming was on with the morning show.
Oh, I can't wait to play it.
Which part?
All of it.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, we got a trade deadline coming up in 10 days. What are we going to do, Flem?
The only way I could see him being a sell team, like you know, a team that that sells a few pieces to maybe get a younger player, the only way that happens is if they lose every game from here until then. I mean, I just don't see Buster feeling like this is a team to give up pieces. They're not deep enough.
All right, I agree with that. Like that's not on my chessboard. And that would, I think it was Brad Brisby, Stoney. I mean, like, that would mean nightmare on Giant Street if that happened. Okay. What else you got from him? Because,
well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with him. Like, the only way they're selling is if they go 0-10.
But you said they don't have enough good pieces. So what would they sell if you're like Chapman? We talked about him during the break.
It'd be Robbie Ray.
But haven't we learned our lesson from Gosman and Rodon? Those dudes are dealing where they're at, man. Imagine if you just, I'm just saying, well, if you give up on Ray, you're saying then we're 2 years off.
Yeah, probably.
Stoney, stop.
First of all, you're never going to be as good as the Dodgers. Talent-wise.
I got you.
Okay, so
we're talking about the third wild card. Now you've got two and a half behind
that. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a bet with you right now. They're going to sit tight.
Because I'm hot.
And they got to sit tight.
All right, I'm with you. I feel like they don't need to. Like, you could offensively, you could stand pat. But if you could get a Mitch Keller and you said he's going to cost, Google, you looked him up. Like, you ain't getting him for nothing. But, man, I feel like this offense can fix itself. Dude's just got to snap out of it.
Yeah, they're not a good offensive team. They're not going to be this year. They'll have their moments.
And let me ask, from what I know of you, because we're different. I'm a Taurus to Bull, Stoney, and I think you're Sagittarius. So,
yeah, I'm not.
What are you?
Don't worry about it.
Moonchild. Anyway, listen.
When's your birthday?
Finish your damn thought.
Why is he like private? I think I know. Pisces.
No.
Okay, can you just tell us so we can get past this bit?
No. No, I'm not going to.
We know your birthday is September.
Okay, then figure it out, genius.
Evan, help me. But listen, if you're doing stinky shows and the boss calls you in, wouldn't you want to know how stinky you've been? Or would you want him to dress it up? Hey, Stoney, you know, da-da-da-da-da. I want the raw and uncut. Goo, you ain't cutting it.
He's a Virgo.
Virgo!
Who? You.
No, I'm not.
Then you're a Libra.
Get in the game.
Oh, God.
Jeez. Theodore Rand knows I'm a Libra.
Evan,
okay,
what's
your point?
What's your point? Evan, what are you?
Chloe or Chloe to the stars, whoever, you know.
Evan, what sign are you, baby?
I'm a Leo.
Taurus and Leos get along. That's why we get along. How would you, like, I'm wondering if somebody's telling Devers, Rafa, you stink right now.
Yeah,
Bailey,
that's right now. That's smart. Who do you want to tell Devers that?
Melvin. Adamus.
How do you want him to say it?
I think they've talked to him.
Certainly you don't want Melvin to go up to Devers and say, Rafa, you stink.
It's
right.
Radio, but you know what I mean. Are we having those discussions, man? Or are we somehow walking on eggshells?
I'll say it. Devers doesn't look happy.
You've been saying that.
Yeah, he doesn't.
But was he happy in Boston?
Oh,
no.
My goodness.
No.
But he was hitting. He was hitting. He had 15 homers.
Stoney, I'm judging off of what he did at that presser. He could have took it two ways.
What did he do at the presser?
He, through his interpreter, was like, I'm so happy to be here. And then Will Clark's scuttlebutt, he didn't get mad over the Will Clark's.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe that was a factor.
Well, he wasn't hitting before then.
Okay, well, don't ask him to come out of a slump when one of the stars in your organization is making a fool out of you.
And that was my point to you. How do you want to be talked to when you're slumping or underperforming? And I'm saying something I'm not privy to, but I hope the Giants are telling guys just how underwhelming they've been. Communication is key, man. And I believe Bruce Bochy would tell you, and still love you and have a beer with you, how you're doing. or what you're not doing.
Well, you're assuming that Bob Melvin doesn't do that.
I just said it. Huh? But the way this thing keeps going,
what do you mean?
Judging him off every presser seems like it's from the same game. I'm just wondering, are you captivating these youngsters?
One of the things about baseball, Goo, and I think Evan will tell you the same thing. Evan, in baseball, you never want to get too high or too low, right? You want to try to keep that even keel.
That's life.
Right?
It depends on who you are.
Yeah, the Giants.
Like Bobby Cox, Braves legend. Look, they play the Braves
another
today.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I don't think you describe him as being even keeled.
See, I love that stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had some players to manage.
World Series champion.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Once.
By the way, this Zodiac sign is disgustingly accurate.
Read yours and read Steiny's and mine. I'm a Taurus.
Well, I'm going to just go through Libras first. Key traits. Diplomatic. Charming.
I'm literally a diplomat. That was my college nickname.
And indecisive.
There it is.
Indecisive.
How do they know? Sonny,
indecisive.
Fence sitting, the same thing.
Great at compromise.
No doubt. I bring people together. I'm like pods. I'm a connector.
Weaknesses. Well, this is false. Overly concerned with pleasing others.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Likes beauty, balance.
Who doesn't?
And good company. Dislikes conflict. That's wrong.
No, I don't like conflict.
You invite it.
And being alone. That is accurate.
I love being alone.
No, you don't.
Are you kidding me?
No, you don't.
Well, you're alone.
You're a social butterfly.
Oh. You know what?
You like to come off.
You guys still don't know me.
Do we do?
No, you don't.
You don't like conflict when it comes to Willard.
We know you better than you know yourself.
Okay. And I clearly... All right. What do you want to do here? You want to keep doing this? You can keep doing it if you want.
How would you label this?
By the way, we got no boss here today.
And you're bothered.
What? Like,
because you like company.
Yeah, when you guys get together, Steiny, seriously, your spiral on the ball is different.
When who gets together?
You and the boss before I get here. That's your thing you do. And he's not here.
There's a lot of time we have before you get here. By the way,
it's the Evan smile that bothers me sometimes.
Well, today we were worried a little bit about you.
Hey!
By the way, congratulations to Mark Willard. He got married.
I did it 2 days ago, but thanks for finally coming around. Kudos to Mark, man.
Yep. Oh, no.
I saw some pictures. He was sharp. They were sharp. Oh, no, what?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of the sneakers with a suit look. But listen, it's not my generation. It's not my generation.
I can't stand it, and it's what's wrong with us, man. You put some Stacey Adams on, Stoddy, Kenneth Coles. What you got?
I'm just thinking about Fleming saying the...
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th.
Each week, we talk about the movies and TV shows that influence Severance with the artists who make them.
Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
The only way they're sellers is if they lose their next 10 games, which they probably won't. But I'm wondering if they go 3-7 and they're 500.
You're asking me.
You can't buy at 500. If you go 3-7,
that would feel like
now you're
10.
4 of the
three, and you probably be more, but that feels like 0-10. If you go 3-7 and you got the Pirates, the lowly Pirates, twice,
keep it up.
I'm the one that said, who are you to finger point the schedule after that White Sox Marlin debacle? But
oh my God,
I'll never let.
How many months have to go by before you reference a game from four months ago?
Keep them out the offs. That 1-5 stretch.
Oh, my God!
Don't you see it,
You
man?
Know what? And they're 2-4 against the Dodgers could keep them out.
Well, they should be 4-2 because they blew Saturday.
Well, they didn't. They're not. Well, they're not.
You just won't admit maybe some fire might help some of these guys in a season-long funk. That's all. The only road I'll come down on, Melvin, is you're who you are. But, boy,
and you
might want to light a match or two. You might get more.
Look, the one thing sometimes you forget is we're talking about professional sports. We're not talking about Mighty Mites.
They're not machines.
We're not talking about Mighty Mites where you call a kid over and undress him.
That's pretty funny. But
do you have the YouTube chat up?
No, I'll bring it up now.
Just read it.
Okay.
Read Just read it.
Jim Olay. Yeah. It says $5. Steiny. Uh-oh. Based on your birth date, your sun sign is Libra, but your moon sign is Taurus. You and Goo make a great team.
Thanks, Jim.
I'm a Taurus. Wow. That's why we're longest lasting show on the station. You hate accolades, dude. Just tap into it and say it.
It's not hard, Goo. He made Nahegan's made 17 changes in the last 5 years.
Dude,
of course we're the longest tenured show.
Oh man, I love you. Question is, how long will it run?
It's up to me.
What do you mean it's up to you?
It's up to me how long.
Well, you
we
ain't
go.
Close to the end.
You don't think?
You ain't Verlander.
Keep saying that. Keep saying that.
You ain't Verlander.
Keep
not
saying either. That. You know, I don't like the word flat.
Yeah, I got you. You're the man. But really, we got to get into this. This is my way of transitioning because we're still on the Giants and we'll be till 2. But Stani, the WNBA All-Star
Let's
game.
Let's just go to the WNBA. Right.
So the girls came out.
My God.
Yeah.
First of all, they're women.
I understand
okay,
that.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Now I'm mad that you pointed that out. But they came out and they wore black T-shirts, and Stani, it hit me like a frying pan in the face. Pay us what you owe us. And they all wore the shirts.
All right.
Okay, that's one component of it. Okay. That's what I saw on my TV.
All right.
And I'm really telling you, I need somebody, I don't know who it is, Adam Silver, to be embarrassed at the wages that the WNBA players are getting compared to the NBA. Something's got to be done. I'm hearing scuttlebutt of new TV deals, and maybe there'll be more money for the players to get more bread. But Stani, as a guy, Evan, as a guy that has the league pass for the WNBA, I do find it a crock of you-know-what that they're getting paid these low wages. Okay, that's there. What else bothers me? Know your partner day about the WNBA.
What?
Take a guess. You should know if you know me.
I don't know.
The Caitlin Clark hate. I don't know where it stems or comes from.
It's part of basketball.
It's not a stop. It's jealousy.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So listen to this sound Evan's about to play from one of my favorite players, Kelsey Plum, about Caitlin Clark. They pick teams like LeBron and Steph. You know how that goes, Giannis?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they had a draft, and then Kelsey Plum's at the podium,
okay.
And Evan and I hear this sound, and I'm feeling some type of way after Evan plays this.
All right.
This united front was determined this morning that we had a meeting for, and, you know, not to tattletale, but zero members of Team Clark were very present for that. But, no, we were just we had a very
that really needed to be mentioned.
I'm trying to make a situation light, okay? But yeah, no, I think it was just all of us getting on the same page for the game. We wanted to do something that was just united and collective. And
so Kelsey Plum, showing how jealous she is, just gave a stray or two to Caitlin Clark and her team for not wearing the shirt, Stani.
But they did wear the shirt.
That's what I'm saying. So why would you go up to the mic? But that just, it reeks of how jealous a lot of these players are of Caitlin Clark. And I like Kelsey Plum, but I thought that was low class. Like, damn, nobody asked you who had the shirt. I saw her in the shirt, but now you up here telling, but you're jealous.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
I don't like it.
I got to tell you, this is one of those where I think we've got about 8% of the entire story. Like, why are you telling me they said, hey, Caitlin, bring your team over. We're going to have a meeting. No. Really? I don't know.
One can believe that now after that soundbite, okay, which we didn't see. Evan and I saw everybody in the shirt. So why would you go up there and tell? That's like Jordan telling on Isaiah. Isaiah's team. Nobody asked you that.
I don't really believe. I don't know. I don't know what Plum's saying. What if I told you that?
Okay, but you do know they're jealous. Forget Plum.
And that's,
they're jealous of, right, Caitlin Clark. And my question to you is why?
What do you mean why? Why was the whole league jealous of Steph Curry? Because they thought he was the golden boy. The women think Caitlin Clark is being treated like the golden gal. It's a story as old as sports. There's nothing new to see here. You get a newcomer coming to into a league. The league thinks they're too big for their britches. They try to knock them down a peg. It
Magic
happens
and
in
Bird,
every sport.
Magic and Bird, they hit different.
Okay, and there you go again. Those are two of the greatest players in history, two complete anomalies who came into the league and began to dominate. And I will tell you, even Bird's rookie year, you think they didn't go at him?
No, that's different.
The difference is that Bird was too good.
But not on the podium. The mic game is where Caitlin's catching these strays.
What else?
Like Kelsey Plum, nobody asked you crap about Caitlin Clark, but you had to, wow. Just hit me with a bus. But it's cool.
This is such a nothing burger to me.
If you're Caitlin Clark, it's not. It's another indication that jealousy is green.
That's right. And it's another indication that she must be a hell of a player.
Well, okay.
And
she got to stay healthy, but yeah.
I mean, tell me, what is the difference between Caitlin Clark and Steph Curry in 2014-ish, when he started to win, and James Harden said, they're not that good, and they voted Harden an MVP, which was a joke. Like, she's going through what Steph Curry went through, and you know what? If she's great, she'll break through, and she'll get all the respect she needs, just like Steph Curry.
Mm. So you almost sound like you said it's a compliment, almost.
It is. Like, there's nothing new or different to me when somebody comes into a league and like you think Shedeur Sanders is gonna if he plays
well he's different.
Why?
Because his dad and himself acted like he was Dan Marino, and he very well may be, but it hits different when you blow your horn more than people want to blow it.
Right, so you don't think that if NFL players have a chance.
Oh, my God, they're coming for him.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing with Caitlin Clark.
They were coming for Brock Purdy, and he was just a guy next door. Yeah, and I know Angel Reese gets hate. This is different.
Yeah, you know, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this. But
well, don't say it. We need you.
You know what? Forget it. The NBA's bothering me. The WNBA's bothering me, too.
What happened?
They're doing...
What are they doing?
They're taking all the wrong pages out of the book of NBA players is what they're doing. And it has nothing to do with them trying to negotiate the best collective bargaining agreement they can get. That's what they should do. But the league, the WNBA, like the NBA, is becoming like what's going on off the court is more important than what's going on the court.
But when you're talking about wages, Steiny, that's the ultimate. We talked about last week, sign of respect.
Okay. How much did they make, Goo? They play 44 games. They haven't made money in 30 years. How much should they make? Like, should they make as much as the men? Should they make half as much? A quarter as much?
It's about the percentage, though, Steiny. Sure. Like, that's what they're talking about.
Right, and that, I get it. But the bottom line is, wherever that 50-50 break is, you know, that's what happened in the NBA with, it's called, BRI, basketball related income. And they keep, it used to be like 55 or 60% players, 40 owners, and that becomes more 50-50, and that impacts the salary cap and all that kind of stuff.
I don't have a number, but Evan just touched on it, and there's rumors again, Stoddy, that these TV deals for the WNBA are going to go up and other entities are going to buy them and there'll be more of a surplus, but you know what I mean. I mean, they should be young hoopers that are in high school and college should look at the WNBA like young hoopers look at the NBA and say, I can have a fine life and take care of my family and some if I'm blessed enough to make the pros. And I'm not saying that compared to the NBA, Steiny, I'll do it. They're getting chump change.
Well, they play a 4-month season. They play half the games of the NBA. And I don't know what the answer is.
But do you think what's happening now is wrong?
What is happening?
Their low wages as low as they are.
Well, that's, listen,
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about it.
I didn't have a number. Okay.
Because this is what you get when people think the NBA cares about the WNBA, and they don't. And I'll tell you more about that on the other side. That segment.
What's that? Pods.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That segment brought to you by Safeway.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.